We used to sing that working in weddings. We'd be like, cover girl, work it girl.
That's amazing.
Do a twirl.
There's this really funny part, this weird funny thing he says that my aunt was telling me before we put it on. She goes, okay, there's a thing he says, and I don't know what he's saying. And she tried to do an impression of it, and I just started laughing. I was like, well, that's not even words. Like, what are you? She goes, she basically was trying to do the part where he's like, she done already to have hers is, or whatever. It's like, what? It doesn't make sense. That was obviously a terrible impression. But
what does RuPaul say?
I looked it up, and it's, I think he literally says, she done already done had hers is. Those are the words. Those are supposedly the actual words.
And your aunt was trying to speak it, like, phonetically.
Like, trying, yeah, she was hearing Rue, like, the way he says it.
Yeah.
And, of course, he gives it all the oomph in the world.
Yeah.
Someone wrote, what does she done already done had hers is
what
mean?
What does that even mean?
So that's, like, so white, too. Welcome back to Salem and Biggs Present. I'm your host, your Salem today, Nina, and I'm joined again by the ever-amazing co-host, co-ho, Brie Gavet, my Biggs today.
I don't know why that shouldn't have made me laugh, but it did. Co-ho.
You're my co-ho. It has been a hot minute since I've actually had the pleasure to finally get to sit down with Brie and talk about our fave films in person.
I know, this is so crazy.
It's so nice.
Since March, and I finally get to see Fiona again.
I know.
She was so confused when our friends and I would do our little, like, Zoom chats, and she'd go, where are you guys? I can hear you, but I can't see
you. She kept looking behind the computer screen. She was, like, sniffing. She's like, where is Auntie Brie? I don't know.
It was so cute. Nina would send us photos of Fiona looking for us.
Oh, she was so cute.
I wanted to do RuPaul's masterclass.
Oh, yeah. The masterclasses look amazing.
They do.
I just watched the trailers.
I know. I definitely missed it during quarantine because I was at home for like 10, 11 weeks.
I bet they made bank on that.
I bet they did. I worked the whole time from home, so it wasn't really like I just had free time. It was like, my time was pretty much allocated as normal.
Yeah.
Just zero social life. And
yeah, it's just all the fun sucked out
of
your normal routine. So quarantine's been great, y'all.
Yeah, where we live, they've lifted. We're in phase 3 right now. So Nina and I are in studio together, but we are physically present with each other. Socially distanced apart.
Yes.
No hugs.
No hug. Don't you hug me.
No sharing of drinks. We're more than 6 feet apart. We're at two ends of a table.
Yeah.
We thought it would be okay since a lot of things have opened back up, but we're still being safe.
Yeah. I think the less exposure, the less places you go, if you can really avoid it, that's the better thing to do. And then just be careful when you do go somewhere.
Yeah. Wear a mask.
Hand sanny. Wash the hands. Masks. Keep it real. Don't be terrible. Be cool. In the words of the Countess, be cool. Don't be all, like, uncool.
Is that the Countess from, like,
Real Housewives of New York?
Yes.
Of course it is. And this is, like, so up that alley. So, super excited to talk about a very fun movie that I happened to just watch the other day, like, a month ago. And thought, God, I love this movie. It'd be really cool to do this for the podcast, but, like, when? Then I was like, wait, Father's Day is kind of like a perfect time to do this.
Yeah.
So.
And it's Pride Month.
And it's also Pride Month, which is another reason I was like, wait, this is like a double whammy of awesomeness to celebrate all in one. So why not cover The Birdcage?
Woo!
Love this movie. Classic perfection. Like, does it get better than Nathan Lane and Robin Williams in the same movie together?
I mean, what is better than one dad but two?
Exactly. Exactly. And then, to make it all the more fatherly, throw in a father-in-law. I'm going to get that B.O.B. out there. That's our back-of-box description. We like to look at the back of the VHS box, in some cases DVD case. I feel like, thankfully, we get to talk about a lot of, like, 80s, 90s flicks in this podcast. We're clearly biased. We're clearly of a certain age, us millennials. Anyway.
Yeah, it's the ones we grew up with.
Yeah. Right on the top, it says, this is one funny movie.
Truth. It is so true.
Bold red letters. Lies and deception. It's all in the family. When Robin Williams must convince conservative in-laws Gene Hackman and Diane Weist that he's as upstanding and uptight as they are in this ruckusly funny comedy that'll leave you weak from laughter. Armand Williams and Albert, Nathan Lane, have built the perfect life for themselves, tending to their successful and gaudy nightclub on the Miami Strip. But their pastel tranquility is suddenly shaken by the arrival of Armand's son, who's getting married to the daughter of an ultra-conservative Senator Keeley, Hackman. What's more, the senator and his wife, Weist, are on their way over for dinner and expecting to meet Mr. and Mrs. Family Values. Can Armand and Albert pull it off? It'll take a performance of extraordinary charisma to transform them into acceptable in-laws. In other words, to pull the chiffon over Keeley's eye. That was good. Directed by Mike Nichols, Working Girl, and co-starring Christian Baranski, Sybil. The Birdcage is a comedy whose time has come, and that you'll watch time and time again.
I think that's so true.
So true. This is like one of the best B.O.B.s we've ever read.
I definitely want to watch this like all the time. Yeah. Like every June, every Father's Day.
Totally. I actually was so glad I just bought it on my Amazon because now I just have it. Like, hell yeah.
This was the first time I had seen The Birdcage.
Yes.
But I was very familiar with it.
Right. And I was so excited because I have seen this several times over the years. And knowing that Brie hadn't actually seen the whole movie was like such an exciting little, I was like, I can't wait to see just like her, hear about her first impressions.
I was so excited and I was holding back texting you the whole time because I wanted to save it, but I was like screaming.
Oh, so
screaming. So laughing so hard and screaming.
Oh my, this is such a delightful film to show someone who hasn't seen it. Like if you have seen it and you already love it, I made Patrick watch it a few months ago and he was just like cracking up. Like he loves this movie. We watched it again last night a little bit to refresh and he was like, please put it back on. I want to watch it again. Like
if it wasn't so late, I would have loved to have rewatched it immediately after. Instead, I watched like trailers of it on YouTube in bed. I was just like, I needed a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I wanted to relive like some of those amazing one-liners.
Totally. This is such a great, quotable movie. Like, the quips.
And some of it's so quick. Like, I'm sure I missed a lot of it for a
every
first time.
Every time I watch it, I hear new things. Yes. Yeah. And it's funny because I was like, okay, try to remember everything. And then I was just like, you're not going to. This is one of those movies where you are going to, for a lifetime, always enjoy, always keep learning and seeing new little things. Because that's the level of talent that you're dealing with when you're watching this movie. Like, you're always going to be surprised, even though it's the same recorded performances. Like how...
Yeah, nothing changes.
Isn't that amazing that that can hold up for that long? And yeah, it's like it gets better with time. It's like fine wine.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I'm quoting a lot of Real Housewives tonight. Maybe clearly, I'm feeling Pride Month.
Yeah. I mean, we do love some Bravo, so.
We do. Shout out to Bravo. I love that this film is bookended by the song We Are Family.
Yes, I was going to mention that at some point. I loved that so much. Yeah.
I mean, that's just like, yes, like we can be different. We can still be in the same family. We can still love each other. We can still support each other. Like, hell yeah, that's what it is. And I think just that simple message, as we consistently see that in the movie, is like in itself perfect for Pride. So loved it.
I loved it too. I was so excited to start the movie that way.
Yeah.
And it's like such a fun song we all know and love.
Yeah,
and
everyone can sing to it.
Yes, and seeing all the different queens on stage just like living epic. Their best lives, having the time of their life, and then to just have it, bookend so perfectly to
wonderfully
see other sides of what a family means.
Yes.
Especially. I actually didn't know that that's what the song was at first, but the way it started, I was like, I'm in.
Yeah.
Like, I was just so excited to hear, like, a 90s beat.
Yes.
And then it,
kicks into that song. Yeah.
It was, like, a little bit of a remix. Yeah. It's a house.
They were leaning you in. Yeah.
It's a house party. Like, it's not the classic We Are Family recording, so.
It was, a little sample or something until it got into it. Like, overall, what was your first take from this film, having watched it? I mean, I know you said you laughed a lot, but just, like...
I mean, that's a long answer, I feel like.
Did you love it?
I absolutely adored it.
Yeah.
There were things in the beginning that really made me sad But then happy that we've moved so far from this.
Yeah.
But I was really, like... It was driving me crazy, like, how much, like, lying was involved and, like, hiding and taking it. And really, like, if you look at it as a whole, it's hilarious of what they do and what they did.
A ruse. You can't go wrong with a ruse.
Yes. Like, that is hilarious. But there was just, if you kind of pinpointed it, I was like, oh, man, like, that's so sad. And that, you know, they had to pretend to be somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But then it had a huge payoff. And it was so funny. And there were so many, like, funny jokes.
It's all about the payoff in this movie.
I was like, okay, get it.
Yeah. Get it.
Like, I knew, I had heard so much about this movie for years. I remember I was young when it came out. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't even really in my, like, demographic. I think my parents watched it.
Yeah.
You know, but I would just hear, like... It was so funny. Oh, it's the funniest movie. It's the funniest movie. But, you know, just never came across it again, being so young.
Yeah.
And I knew it was about a boy that had two dads and didn't know his mother. And that was it.
Wow. Okay.
I didn't know what the Birdcage was. Ah. I knew what the poster looked like because I had seen it so many times at Blockbuster or whatever. But that was it.
That's what I was going to ask is, like, what did you know? And then what... I guess, did you not know? So that's a lot.
And there were things I was like, oh, wow. Like, I just thought was going to be different.
Yeah.
But it was so funny.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm so glad that that was your experience.
I had no idea Hank Azaria was in it.
Oh, my God. He is a freaking delight. Love him so much.
And I was, like, trying to figure out the relationship. Like, what is going on? Like, are they together?
Like, is Frank Azaria, like... some, like, spare boyfriend of theirs?
That's what I'm saying. I didn't understand their relationship. Yeah. Because then he made a comment at some point about, like, white wine and, like, well, we both only drink red. Are you seeing someone else? And then he kind of was like, I'm going to tell him you're seeing someone else.
Like, yeah.
I was like, are they dating? Is it, like, a triple, like, or purple? What do they call it?
Yeah, something like that.
I didn't know if he's a friend. Like, I really didn't understand it and... still kind of was confused. It seemed mostly to me at the end was like he was someone that was aspiring to be a drag queen or a performer.
Right.
And so this was kind of his way to get in. You know, he's constantly wanting to be seen and he sings in front of them. So that's what I kind of took from it is that like he's a young guy coming up and they're the, you know, owners. And, like, he wants to learn from Albert, and he wants to,
the great,
you know,
Starina.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
So, what a name.
I know. Starina. I'm like, oh, my God, that's fabulous. That is seriously so cool. Like, I would totally go see her. Hell yeah.
100%.
But, yeah, I think you're right. I think, especially the more I, like, you know, just questioned that less and paid attention to, like, just... how the story unfolded, it just became more obvious that it was like, oh, he's just trying to like kind of, and then I think those little moments where he sort of threatens them, it's just kind of like general, like shade. It's like general bitchiness. Yeah. Like, you know.
Yeah. Like when it first started, cause they're not, they don't lay it out.
Yeah.
You know, they even kind of hide the lead about it being the son. Like, yeah. You know, he's touching him in a way, and you think, oh, is that the guy he's dating? Like,
I know.
It's a little loose.
Really hide that for a while.
Which is fun. So I didn't know if that was the new boyfriend. Mm. And then later, you know, you kind of figure out, like,
mid-conversation.
And then I'm like, is he just here for comic relief? Like, what is this?
Yeah.
I think that they made a really smart move to cast Robin Williams as one of the dads. Yes. Which, like, I fully agree with representation. And I think, like, it probably would have been a lot better if an actual gay person played this role. But in 1996, mm-hmm. I don't know if that would have the same pull to the theaters.
Right.
To, like, make it more of a broad audience, which I kind of feel like was their...
vital in this case.
Goal, like, to show mm-hmm. that family doesn't mean, you know, mom, dad, two and a half kids and a picket fence. Yes.
Yeah. So it's like, you're right.
His stardom, he's so beloved, and... people would just go to the movies to see him, and then you would learn something. You're sitting there going, huh, you're kind of like identifying with yeah. the senator if you're, you know, that kind of conservative and seeing, okay.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because Robin Williams, especially at the time, was very much, we knew him as both. Kind of yin and yang. We knew him as straight and absurd.
Mrs. Doubtfire was silly, you know, because we did mm-hmm. see that, like, scene where he does all his right. voices and stuff.
I feel like if we can see that in Mrs. Doubtfire when he's kind of having a good time and getting a chance to be that sort of silly self, and then he takes on this role where he's kind of the straight instead of the absurd, then, you know, that's such a gift for the audience. And I think, like you were saying, like, people were probably more likely to sort of flock to the theater to see this, and this would generally be good for them for not only just seeing that normalcy, but having him be like the window into that to tell you, to show you.
He did play more of the straight man, and we don't mean mm-hmm. straight sexually, right. We mean straight comedically.
And I don't mean absurd, like if you're gay or absurd. Yeah, no, I don't. No, I mean, strictly in comedic terms, yes. The term would be straight absurd, which we all have seen, you know, yes. that act.
And so. It was, you're right, it was fun to see him in that way. Like, his eye rolls said so much.
Yeah.
But he didn't have to be over the top.
No.
It was like, I've made those eye rolls. Mm-hmm. I've had those situations. I could identify
with
that.
They said more than words could say. Like,
they did. And he killed it. He played a little bit of the audience too. I mean, in a way where he's like, the way he speaks to Albert and like, just silly things about trying to teach him how to be more masculine. Yeah. It's like, we're kind of seeing a window into this world, and it's mm-hmm. being explained to us in a different way that we're not used yeah. to, you know? Or they weren't used to in 1996.
Yeah, exactly. And I think just the whole general picture serves that purpose a little bit. I feel like this was one of those, if you were to really look back on the history of, like, sort of educating the public or sort of, yeah. you know, raising awareness for, like, LGBTQ community, it's kind of like this would be one of those flicks. I mean, I could be wrong, but I feel like this would be one. You'd look at it and go, thank God for that one.
We're not experts in this at all, but it's like one of those dip your toes in the water. Mm-hmm. Like, this might have been the first exposure to a lot of people of even seeing, you know, like, someone openly gay and have a child.
Yeah, that's huge. Not only openly gay and having a child, being two fathers, really, but also the drag element is major. I don't think people were, like, understanding what a drag queen was. And I think there's still a lot of confusion about, like, okay, if someone's a drag queen, does that mean they're gay? Or does that mean they're gay and trans, or does it mean they're trans? Like, what does that mean? And I think,
and what are their pronouns?
Exactly. And because there's times in this film where they will refer to Albert as her, and I feel like, you know, is that just like a familiar thing they do, or is she considered like trans, or is that just like how you would do with like a queen, like a drag queen. So
yeah,
there's all those little confusing things, and they're very important. I personally could not sit here and, you know.
I think it's a person-to-person basis. Yes. And like RuPaul says, you can call me he, you can call me she.
Mm-hmm.
What my experience has been with drag queens is when they're in drag, some prefer to be referred to as she.
Right.
But that's a person basis, you know, and it's okay.
To ask or to respect
what people want to be called.
Yeah, because you do want to educate yourself. You do want to learn what's right or, you know, what is like.
What I love so, like, I've always been a fan of drag, even as a little kid. RuPaul was huge. I know Drag Race is big now, but like RuPaul was big when I was a little girl too.
Yeah.
Like, and it was the first time I'd seen a drag queen. It's amazing. I did know about how Ursula was based off of a pretty famous drag queen. I'm forgetting the name right now. But I love the kind of superhero alter ego-ness of being something other than yourself, but like it's something in you. It's like a way to express like your inner alter ego.
That's such a good way to put it.
Of like fabulousness.
Yeah. And like just pure confidence. You know, there's something to be said for like the art form. You know, you have to remember a lot of these people in this community are so like, I mean, oppressed, but also just like hiding. They're so used to having to hide and even hiding from themselves. And like, it's this constant like cover up that there's something really amazing to being like, boom, I'm suddenly taking this art form that's the opposite of hiding. I'm out, I'm loud, I'm proud, I'm here, I'm singing, I'm dancing, I'm as visible, I'm as vocal. Like
the biggest, best life I can.
And it is extra, and it should be, and there that's what makes it magic.
Nothing more fun than going to a drag show. If you guys have not gone to one, I highly recommend when Corona has long gone and it is safe to go.
It's such a blast.
It's so fun. There's one in LA where you can go for brunch.
Oh, yeah.
There's drag queens serving you and performing, and they're going up and down the stage. And there's also this huge comedy element to drag shows.
Yes.
So on top of singing and performing, and, you know, a lot of them are insanely talented singers and dancers.
Yeah.
Some are just so freaking funny.
Yeah. And it's funny how it really is a combination. Like, it's sort of taking, like, what was lounge.
Like, burlesque kind of.
Yeah. And then, like, pumping it up to, like, 150. You do a lot of riffing. Oh, yes.
Because it's all improvised. Yeah. You're just going.
And I mean, you basically have to be an improviser as well as an amazing freaking dancer. Usually a great singer, if not a great lip singer. So you pretty much have to have that talent.
Yes, sometimes the lip singing. Yes, you're right. They're not actually singing.
Yeah. So you kind of, but that still takes talent.
Oh, yeah.
There's still so much to that.
And
you have to sell that.
The command of a room.
It's amazing.
Is off the charts.
Yeah.
I love this one. It might have actually been the masterclass preview or an interview, but it was with RuPaul. And, you know, sometimes we see him in a suit and glasses, and he looks amazing.
Oh, I know. I kind of love that look.
I actually do too.
He's beautiful, or she's beautiful when she gets going.
Yeah.
But then
the
it's
big
like
hair.
When he's got just the glasses and suit, he's like, and he carries
striking.
That confidence.
Yeah.
Carries that, you know, it's not some different person, but it's this other part of that person.
Well, so he was saying on an interview or something, like I said, it might have been the masterclass trailer, but he was saying, like, you're always in drag. Like, whatever you're wearing, you're choosing to put something on that's going to affect your attitude. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm interpreting this probably differently than what he said. But it just made a lot of sense. Is like, you know, when I go for a big job thing or like a fancy party, like, I'm going to wear something different and I'm going to feel different in it. So when, you know, drag queen is in like above and beyond, it's going to heighten their, like, personality to just be able to do these crazy, amazing, fun, hilarious just things.
Beyond.
But so they show the birdcage, and you first see Starina is the star. Oh my God. And you're like, who's that?
Yeah, that's the name in lights that it's like, okay, if we go in there, are we gonna see Starina right now?
Yes.
And it's like, we're getting the suspense for who Starina
is. Who is Starina? And you see, you know, this nightclub and just so much fun's happening, but then you're following Armand. I start dancing. Yeah. You're following Armand.
Immediately we're introduced to Armand and he's just like, I can see the stress in his face.
I was taking a few notes when I was watching it. And I put right away, loving the music. And then I wrote, eye roll, kitchen dropping food.
Yes, yes.
When there's someone picking up like a whole T-bone steak off the floor.
Oh my God. And then placing it right back on the plate.
The look on Armand's face. And he has this eye roll, but he also doesn't want anyone to see into the kitchen. Like,
he just told himself, God, I didn't see that. I'm walking away.
Oh, my God. Like,
it's so great.
That would never fly. I don't know if you remember this, but back in the early 90s and prior, food places. Like, a lot of, like, fast food restaurants and stuff had, like, a back area. You couldn't see the kitchen.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of issues with people like dropping food on the floor, spitting in food, hair in food, like all these like, you know,
funky little things.
Gross things. And eventually it became such an issue of people complaining that they had to remodel all the restaurants so that you could actually see behind.
Oh.
And so that started changing in like the early mid 90s.
Right.
And that would have been a time where, like, it was still a little hush-hush.
Very relevant, yeah.
To, like, drop a steak. Because today, that could never happen. People would be fired over this. It would be a huge thing. Lawsuits.
A whole situation.
But I just loved how much that scene said. It's like, he's running this business.
Here we go. Yeah.
There's issues everywhere, like any business, but...
Yeah. And it's so, like... And this might be maybe not the best, like, stereotype, but it's, like, clearly all of the, you know, queens, and I say queens, like, the performers, and then, like, the staff, too, who, like...
Well, there's crossovers there.
Yeah, exactly.
The performers are also staff.
Obviously, priority is performance. So it's, like,
in
your drag queen, that is your goal, that is what you're focusing on. You're not, like... about whatever's going on in the kitchen. You're just kind of doing that part because you have to.
Yeah, it's like a lot of comedy clubs.
Exactly.
Where you work tables or you clean up and then you hope to get, you know,
your stage
5
time.
Minutes in.
Yeah.
On
and
Friday
so
night.
And so you can tell, like, that's a constant irritation for him that he's being someone who runs it has to deal with all of that on the other half of things. So that is, like, literally a perfect little moment that captures those feelings that are constantly happening.
Now, how much do you love all the references to, like, the Kennedys of the Bushes?
I loved that. I was like, there is a clear divide, and it is very obvious.
It was constant. They brought it up so many times. The Kennedys are here. The
Kennedys
Bushes.
Oh,
we're friends with the Bushes. The Kennedys. It was like hilarious.
You're either on that side of things or that side of things.
It was kind of a way to say, like, if you identify with this is where we're going to put you.
Exactly.
So they
separated
them.
I like that because I feel like, especially in movies, they typically, like, don't refer to the real thing too much because they want everyone to feel like they can relate.
Yeah, and also time, like, you know, references don't always hold up.
Right. All that's happening, all that stress, and then we hear from the ever amazing, who was just kind of your favorite the whole time you watched the movie, Agador Spartacus.
What a name.
Right? So he informs Armand that she's not coming down, and we're kind of like, is this Starina? Who is this?
Yeah.
There's somebody on stage.
Her number is coming up.
Yeah.
And they had to do a quick, like, scramble.
Yeah.
To, you know, kind of prolong because Starina is not coming down.
So then we're introduced to Starina. And Agador is trying to get her, like, out of, not bed, but, like, she's under these blankets. She's hiding from the world. I mean, this is one of those fun, just, like, scenes where you're like, oh, my gosh. First of all, it's revealed that it's Nathan Lane, so I'm already excited. Secondly, she's having a meltdown. Like, a full, like, prima donna level, like, totally diva. Over the top diva moment. And
you know Mariah Carey's had a moment like that.
She totally.
Celine has had a moment like that.
Yes.
Whitney Houston has had a moment like that.
This is the diva moment.
That's
this
a diva moment.
Like, this is Starina. We know.
I can't go out.
Yeah. And it takes us like a minute, but we realize that Starina, also known as Albert, played by Nathan Lane, is very insecure and upset because she has her suspicions that Armand might be seeing somebody else. So that's kind of lingering.
For good reason, though.
Yeah.
Whose white wine was it?
Chilling in the fridge.
Too many tannins?
When I only drink red.
Tannins!
Yeah, I love that. Tannins! So good. It's just such a great opening performance.
I loved the reveal. I loved that Nathan Lane did not have a wig on and wasn't in full drag because they saved it for later. Yes. And I loved that so much. Mm-hmm. It was like, we're getting a peek.
We're getting
the
makeup.
We know who it is.
Yeah.
We got Nathan Lane.
Mm-hmm.
We got Timon. We got, what's his name in the producers? I forget his name. But
yes,
here he is.
Yeah, we got Timon and the genie.
And he has a... Disney, what up?
Hey.
He has like amazing eye makeup on.
It's so good.
And the rant is something
I'm this fat, insecure, middle-aged thing. Yes.
Short. I made you short?
Yeah. Oh, I made you short. I love it because it's, we're seeing this like, whoa, this diva's having a freaking meltdown. But for Armand, this is a Tuesday. And his.
I don't know if you guys heard that. I almost took a spit take there.
It's like, this is so normal for him. And his, like, responses back are so, like, the sarcasm is on point. It's quick. It's clever. He's done this for 20 plus years daily.
And that's such a fun thing in their relationship is that there's constant little, like, jabs, but then they're also, like, shut things down.
It's a little drama.
But then they can be really, like, loving, even though it's not blatantly like, I love you. It's like, I want to spend my dead, like, time in this world next to you.
Yeah.
Next to your gravesite.
Yeah. Totally.
If that's not a way to say I love you, I don't know what is.
There's so many little dramatic statements. It's great. Eventually, he convinces Starina to perform, even though she's still suspicious, you're seeing someone else, et cetera, et cetera. Thankfully, though, we get to see that entrance, and it's great.
Yeah, it's really funny. And you see Armand kind of watching from backstage, and you can tell he really loves him, and he's proud of his performance and the talent. You know, he's kind of watching where, like, the rest of the time when other people are on stage, he's not paying attention. He's worried about his customers and the business. And then he took that time to, like, watch his man up there.
Yeah. It's cute. It's like a little sweet moment. You're like, okay, maybe he's not seeing somebody. We don't know yet. It's a little weird.
But he's a little like, ugh. You know, like, there's a little of that in there. Like, I can't believe I got to deal with this all the time.
Exactly. Oh, my God.
But
gosh.
I love him.
Yeah. It's like, it's what I do for my man. Super cute. And pretty soon, Armand is joined by a very handsome young man that we are a little suspicious. Is this possibly the guy he's
seeing? Yeah, he kisses him real close to the lips, but on the cheek, like, real close. And then the way he, like, pulls his hair can seem a bit sexual, but it also could seem very maternal.
Right.
Which he admits to being later, that he's maternal.
Yeah.
So, like, my mom would grab my hair like that. I probably wouldn't let her kiss me real close to the lips. But especially right yeah. now. But she would, you know, grab my hair like that and say, oh, you cut your hair.
Yeah. But it's funny because they do string that suspense on for a little while. You really don't know what is the relationship here.
And I was having the feeling, I could be totally wrong, but when he says I'm getting married and it's a girl, mm-hmm. I kind of had the suspicion of like, oh, this is a cover up marriage because mm-hmm. that, you know,
like they have did happen. Going on.
Yeah. So he was like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, ugh, what? He's just like, Armand's getting annoyed yeah. and heated about Val, you know, giving him the news.
Yeah. And I could, it's funny because like, I saw this the first time I saw it was so long ago that I don't even really remember taking that in or
how
what
you
I
felt. Yeah,
yeah. So having going back and watching it now, it was like, oh, they don't reveal that Val's his son for quite a while, and it's kind of an interesting choice overall. I thought that was kind of neat.
I do. I know. I like it.
Yeah.
What I didn't like is that Val looks so freaking old, and they're acting like he's a child.
Like 20. He's supposed to be 20.
Yes.
And he was 27 when they filmed this.
Yes. He looked closer to 30, mm-hmm. which he was. And then Calista Flockhart, as little as she did look young, but she did not look 18 years
yeah.
old.
Yeah. Her face did not look like an 18-year-old. She was 30.
30.
She was 30 years old. And they were like, yeah, you're little.
18. I mean, I could just see it. She had a maturity to her.
Yeah. It's just weird. It was weird. I mean, they're cute and they're great for the parts, but it is just a weird choice.
That was one thing I didn't get in the movie, and maybe they had to make them young because
there had to be some opposition to the marriage.
Yeah, that, and I thought maybe that the ages might have not made sense for Robin Williams to have a 30-year-old
right
at that age, so they had to make him younger. But I feel like they could have had an opposition to marriage,
and
even if they were 30.
Possibly going out on a writing thought here, maybe they felt like them forcing their family into this ruse was kind of a childish thing to do.
Oh, it totally was. I yeah. was so irritated with yeah. the son.
Because this is not something I would ever do anyway, because I couldn't handle that stress. But I could see like an 18, 19-year-old do that, thinking, well, it's actually kind of simple if we just do this like this. And I feel like, technically speaking, it would be more believable that they're 18, 19, 20 yeah. rather than, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because I was
28 doing this.
Irritated with him kind of asking so much of his parents
yeah.
and like, oh, leave Albert out of this and mm-hmm. like, we're gonna hide him and call my yeah. mom that I've never met before. Like, it was just so weird.
Yeah, there becomes
I would never
a lot.
Do that.
Oh yeah, it becomes a lot of a little bit invasive and like
dad
bossy. Yeah,
but he was so much older, he didn't act like a teenager, but
right.
it was very childish to yeah. expect that.
It was like he was very and he says certain things that kind of are telling. He said, like, I'm the only guy in my fraternity that came from a broken home. And, I mean, by definition, at the time, somebody could refer to it as that. But really, he came from a very loving
two-parent household.
A two-parent household.
Yeah,
so
broken
that's
family
not,
tends to mean, like, a divorce.
Yeah, just because his biological mom did not raise him, you know. And I think, obviously, we learn in the end that he comes around to that. But I think part of this whole ruse and setup and journey is, like, he himself had to realize and accept and embrace Albert yeah. as his mom, really.
Yeah, to me it felt a little bit like
mom and dad.
He didn't grow up with two dads.
Yeah.
It felt as if, like, he only grew up with
Armand,
and then now Armand's like, hey, I'm out, this is my partner, and he's like, oh, dad, I'm not ready for this. It's like, they raised you
yeah.
both together,
and
he just didn't act like that.
Yeah, he didn't act like that at all. I'm so glad you pointed that out. And it's more implied throughout that Albert was there the whole time. Like,
yeah.
he was looking at, like, the baby photos and his little footprint. And, like, that scene when he comes in after it's revealed Val's Armand's son. And Val's, you know, gone to sleep. The show's over. Starina, Albert, comes upstairs and is like, you know, I saw you with somebody. And he's like, it's Val. You know, it's a surprise. He's here. Doesn't tell him about the marriage yet. The way that Albert takes in that Val's there is so maternal.
Yeah.
It's so loving. It's so parental. It's just, like, really sweet. And there's that sweet scene where he goes into the bedroom where he's staying and, like, picks up his clothes that he threw around. I mean, just doing those sweet things that, like, your mom and dad do for yeah. you when you're a kid and you crash on the couch or whatever, you know? And I just thought, oh, my God, like, he loves him so much. That's really sweet.
Yeah. Like, those were just the things I was irritated about. But then, like, mm-hmm. you wouldn't get the comedy without that. And I know, like, this did come from a remake of a, like, French-Italian
yes, like, a French play film. And La movie. La Cage aux Folles. Yes.
So I get, like, where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. If it was made today, I think maybe it would have been handled a little differently, or it just mm-hmm. kind of made me sad that he's asking
yeah.
his parents to be something they're not.
Yeah. And Robin Williams even says, Armand even says, I don't want to be somebody I'm not.
Yeah.
Period. That's why, like, I'm here.
I do love, like, this made me laugh, but it was kind of like, what are you going to do? Like, when they're looking around at the house and there's all these, like, naked men, yeah. like, statues and stuff. And it's like,
it's all very gay. And it's great.
And the butts in the yeah. frame. And it's like, what? You want me to change my whole life?
Yeah.
So I can meet this girl's parents?
Like, yeah. Impress them with what? Something that's yeah, not there?
Like, this, like, isn't me if yeah. I'm not, you know.
Living my life with my. My penis statues, man. They're fucking cool. So
Neptune.
Yeah, and he's like, that's Neptune. It's a classic.
And then, oh gosh, I don't want to jump ahead, but the crucifix.
Oh my God. Oh, that God. Was magical. That crucifix was like Mac from Sunny would have wanted that crucifix in the bar. Like,
for okay, sure. Can we go back real quick to yeah. Starina freaking out before oh, yeah. he goes on?
There are so many good moments.
There is something that I just, like, could not stop laughing over when, you know, he's complaining that he's gained weight and Agador says he's been giving him pills.
Purine pills.
They leave the room and Armand so says... good. To Agador, like, should you be giving him drugs?
That one, he's like, what the hell are purine pills?
It's aspirin.
He's like, with the A and the S crossed out.
He scratched it off the pill. I laughed so hard. And then later, Albert even says, like, my purine pills or yeah. whatever. And I just, oh, it was such a funny gag to me. I thought that and was Armand hilarious. And
Armand congratulates him on how brilliant an idea that is.
Because, like, it was.
Because they have to come up with these little techniques and little tactics in the presence of this bigger presence, you know?
Yeah. Well, imagine, like, any kind of star. Mm-hmm. They're going to have a lot of yes people around them, but sometimes they need people to, like, you
give
know,
them
just
some
kind
structure.
Of, yeah, like, push them in the right direction. Yeah. It's like, you know, we look back at...
It's like living with a king.
Like, Michael Jackson could have used someone to say, like, let's maybe not inject ourselves to go to sleep. Like, yeah. this doctor is a yes man.
Yeah.
And he's just doing something to please you. Like, yeah. you kind of need a little, like, wait, let's step yeah. in. This is a little crazy.
Yeah.
It's so true. That just made me laugh so hard. And then just the way they called it purine. And
it was funny. I don't think I picked up on that
as
part.
A kid.
This. Like, until this time I watched it.
I laughed
and maybe
so hard.
I did and forgot, but, like, I laughed so hard at it. I was like, oh, my God, that is brilliant. That's the kind of thing you, like, I don't know, you do to a kid who's like, I don't like aspirin, and you're like, here's something else.
Yeah, well, I had to take medication as a child and mm-hmm. had trouble swallowing it. And my mom would put it in, like, a bite of ice cream or, like, yogurt or something, mm-hmm. and she'd be like, come try this.
Smart.
And yes. I had no idea. And then she would give one to my brother, too, with nothing in it. Yeah. And it was just like...
Brilliant.
Here we go.
My mom had to tell me, because I was so picky, she wanted to give me refried beans one time, and she just was like, Nina is so picky, she's going to just look at this and not want to eat it. So I gotta lie to her. So she told me it was chocolatey beans. So to this day. To this day, I still call refried beans chocolatey beans because, one, they're goddamn delicious, and two, they may not taste like chocolate, but I did think that they could have at one time, and that's precious to me. I hold that. Sad memory, very dear.
When I was a kid, I did not like canned tuna, and I have to say, I love it now, but like when I was a kid, canned tuna tend to come in oil. Where now it comes in water. I mean, it's been like that for a while, but
yeah.
It's a lot better now. So when I was a kid, my mom would make like this like tuna like casserole dish. And I said I wouldn't eat it. And she said, oh, I bought chicken this time.
Nice.
And so for years, I would eat it thinking it was chicken. And then one day I caught her opening the can of tuna and I was like, you lied. Yeah. You lied to me this whole time.
That's so funny.
She's like, you ate it, didn't you?
Loved
like,
oh. It.
Now I love tuna, but yeah. When I was little.
Oh my God, that's great. But that's how it is as a kid. I mean, you know, and divas can be like that. So what do you know?
Yeah, it's for their own good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Albert did not need to be on any kind of like fast acting.
No.
Blood pumping, like heart palpitating,
crazy shit,
fat diet pill. So just put him, give him an aspirin. If he had a sore ankle, it'll go away or whatever.
Yeah,
it'd be for his own good.
Help him calm down a little bit.
Oh, that just made me laugh so hard.
Meanwhile, we are introduced to the Keeleys. This is Barbara Keeley and her parents. And Barbara's the sweet, supposedly 18-year-old girl that Val, supposedly 20-year-old, is going to be marrying.
20 going on 31.
Exactly. Her parents are played by Gene Hackman, who's goddamn amazing, and Diane Weiss, who's goddamn amazing. Yes,
but this is a great cast.
It's so good.
If like, we haven't said that already.
Yeah, in case like we aren't obsessed with everyone in this movie, we're obsessed with everyone in this movie. it's so, they're perfect.
She plays perfect. Such like a naive conservative woman where it's like just the thought or the sound of something is like, like so shocking to her.
Yeah. Like and her daughter says something like, when she tells him she's going to get married to Val, she says, we've been sleeping together for a year. And she literally like shrieks. Like,
yes. Like she can't even hear it. You know what I did really like about that scene, though, is they were very pro, like, safe sex and getting tested.
Yeah.
Which, like, wasn't really a thing before, and this is kind of, like, progressive for the time, and, like, everyone should practice.
Post-AIDS.
Yes. Crisis. But it was, like, it was, she's like, have you been tested? And she's like, he has.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the mom's like freaked out that she's been tested. Yeah. It's so funny. Well, the dad asks.
Yeah, that was great.
And oh, he's God. So like one track minded of like, you know, being this
conservative
politician.
Senator.
And he's like started the coalition of morality or what is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, moral order.
Ugh.
This is when the whole religious right was, like, really dipping their hands in. And he was clearly a part of that. His wife's clearly about that. And he's seeking re-election. So he's, like, that's his priority constantly. Yeah. So, of course, at first,
ringing
her parents,
a little bit of a bell.
Yeah. Exactly. So, of course, her parents are actually really opposed to meeting the parents, considering a marriage.
Or them getting
or a
married.
Wedding.
I mean, they are very young. Yeah. I do understand that part.
If I had an 18-year-old kid.
Yeah.
No.
Give him a little shake.
Like, yeah. I'd be like, I'm sorry. Excuse you.
Let's wait a little bit.
Yeah. Take your time.
I love how they dressed them so drab.
Yes.
And like so just uptight and
it's like
gray
preppy,
and beige.
Like, yeah.
Just.
Not even, they didn't even get taupe. It's like, taupe. It's literally gray.
And then you, like, you know, when you see Armand and Albert, it's like just.
It's like Versace.
Yes, it's like high like, fashion.
They are living.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like that, like, South Beach wear, but it's also like kind of fancy.
I live for the part casual. Where they are on the beach and they even say something like, oh, the sun is great. And they're in full, like, linen suits.
Just, is that when they're on the beach under the umbrella?
Yeah, like full linen, like Perry Ellis suits. I love
that so much.
It's so beautiful.
Me having very, like, sensitive, fair skin where I just turn into a lobster immediately, that's, like, perfect for me. I would totally wear fully clothed on the beach.
Oh, it'd be good. It'd be fun. I loved it. So, yes, we're introduced to her and her parents, and, I mean, the tone is apparent right from the start. Like, it's... They're polar opposites.
Yeah.
It's kind of a Romeo and Juliet.
It's really cringy, some of the things the parents say. And there's a big situation, which I was like, why is this part of the plot? But then it made sense later where his predecessor had been in a scandal.
Ooh, yes.
And so this is kind of triggering... For not triggering, but like it triggers
sort of contributes
the press to want to follow him because it's like, what's he gonna do now? And I wrote in my notes, I was like, do they not have a back door?
Yeah,
the dad keeps going through the second floor window,
on a ladder, in the snow. They live in Ohio,
And I'm like, why do they not have like a back door or kitchen? Like, I don't understand. A garage, I was like. Get in the damn car and drive away. But then it was really funny when he's like halfway down the ladder and they start interviewing
him. Yeah.
So like, I was like, okay, this is great. That was the lead up.
So good. He even did the like the Nixon fingers like that.
I am not a crook.
I am not a crook fingers. Like, oh my God. So good.
It was just funny. I wrote in my notes, I was like getting angry and I'm like, why did we have to apologize to conservatives?
Yeah.
What are we protecting them from? So mad, like typing, like, why are we apologizing to them? They're the ones that don't understand.
Yeah. Totally.
Life is so much more fun.
Yeah. You don't have to wear gray and beige all the time. You can wear taupe.
You can wear salmon. Like those salmon socks.
Yeah. Oh, I love those salmon socks.
I do. And you know what? To be 100% honest, if I saw any man wearing salmon socks, I would not think a thing of it.
Yeah.
That's, like, so normal.
I'm not going to be like, ooh, like, what's that? Like, cool. Looks good.
Like, end of story. He's wearing a great suit, but he's wearing pink socks. Yeah. I would just think, like, I feel like the socks he's wearing.
Like he said, you want a touch of color.
Yeah.
Yes, you do, sir. Well done. I love this part where the Keeleys are watching some previously filmed debate where Senator Keeley is arguing. They're all kind of yelling at each other. It's super heated. And she's like, it's a wonderful show.
You can't hear anything.
No, we can't hear what anyone says. They're just bitching at each other.
It's like worse than The View. Like everyone's just talking over each other. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah, it's extreme. It's just, and they're loving it. That's their morning routine.
Screaming at
each other. And she's very comforted by that, which just tells you everything about these people. It's so great. And that's when they get the news about the very bad scandal, ever so bad.
Yeah.
The very crazy scandal.
It doesn't even, like, need to be repeated.
Yeah,
it's like,
really.
Oh. It's so cringy. I was like, oh, I don't like this at all.
Yeah.
But it did, you know, lead into, they could have done it differently, obviously, but.
Yeah, the scandal really does help not only add to the pressure of, okay, the press is like on our tail, they're going to follow us, they're going to watch our every move, but it also kind of inspires at least Barbara's mom, Louise, to kind of be a little more on board with the wedding idea. She's like, you know, a marriage wedding will look really good to the press. It'll lighten the mood. It'll make us look, you know, really great. And
it'll help people forget the scandal. Yeah.
And kind of remind people of family values and whatnot.
So then they have this, like, idea in their head that Val comes from, like, a very conservative, traditional family that they are used to. So they're like, this is perfect.
For some reason, Barbara just lies through her teeth, telling them that he is, what, a cultural attaché in Greece or something? That Armand is, like, and then that his wife is a housewife.
A housewife, yes.
So,
I think
it's a great lie they're all set up for.
There's so many lies. Also, crazy lie, straight up says their last name is Coleman.
Yeah.
It's Goldman.
Yeah. But apparently it sounds too Jewish to them, so that's just oh so bad in their eyes.
I was like, my mind was exploding. I'm like, what?
Like, who would care? But that's the thing.
And then also I was like, are they not going to notice, like, when you get married and... Yeah. They're like, Mr. and Mrs. Goldman?
Yeah.
This is where it's a child.
This is where it's like they're children.
Yeah, you don't think that's about. Yeah.
They're just thinking in the moment, let's get their approval to get married and let that happen.
But comedically, the Coleman with a silent D.
Yeah.
Goldman.
It's the silent D. Kills me.
At first I hated the lying of the name, and then I laughed so hard when they're trying to explain it.
We don't know where we are until we hear our name pronounced.
And it happens so many times. Like the first initial meeting when Albert's not there yet. Then when Albert comes in, the birth mother comes in. She says, I'm Mrs. Goldman. And the parents are like, Goldman?
Suddenly, no, this is wrong. So basically, they kind of are like, well, maybe we should meet these parents, the Colemans.
Yeah, because this could get us out of the scandal.
Yeah.
Get people latched onto a wedding.
Mm-hmm. And so they're like, well, how are we going to get down there? So they escape through the window, and they basically have their driver drive them directly to South Beach.
Which is quite a drive.
Yeah.
And they are not really packed or in the right vehicle for a drive like that, it seems like. Also, I immediately picked up in that this driver is a psycho.
Yeah.
He was smiling maniacally the whole drive, and I was like, something's up with this dude.
Yeah.
And later you see he's like selling stories to the press.
Yeah.
But I knew, I was like, what is up with this guy?
And before he leaves, he gives two reporters a tip who are the first reporters to actually get on it and start following them all the way down.
Oh, the guy from Heavyweights?
Yes, Pat from Heavyweights. Only the greatest summer flick of all time.
Goes to fat camp every year for like 30 years. Never lost a pound.
So precious.
Shout out to Heavyweights. That is a great movie.
It's Tom McGowan who plays him from Heavyweights.
Yes. Oh, gosh. He's a great actor.
He's awesome.
So many things.
He was in Sabrina, too. Hey, favorite.
But I didn't pick up on that first tip, I think. I didn't notice the driver until I was like, why is he smiling so big?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, okay, this is either like he is maniacal or this also may be like a cliffhanger situation. And I mean cliffhanger as in the Sylvester Stallone movie where there is a scene where the girlfriend is about to die and the helicopter driver is smiling as if he's on a roller coaster at Disneyland. He is like so happy, and you're like, this person is plunging to their death, and he's like,
okay. He literally, Patrick just told me about that the other day.
It's so funny.
He said, there's a movie. It's called Cliffhanger, and I was like, okay, but is that where the term cliffhanger comes from?
No.
Or have we always had that, and then that's the movie? Like, there's the movie Cliffhanger. Yeah. Okay, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
How funny, because he was just telling me about that.
No, but my dad pointed that out to me when I was, like, 8 years old. He's like, look at this guy laughing.
It's like
this super intense scene where this woman is, like, falling, and her it's hanging by a clip. She's in the middle of nothing, and
it's
hanging. And they totally spoof it on Ace Ventura 2.
Oh,
remember the raccoon? It's the same scene, but with a woman.
Yeah.
And there's a helicopter, and they're trying to, like, help, and the people in front are like, oh, my God. And
except for the one guy.
The pilot's like... He's just so happy to be on, like, film. Like, he's
for
not
the record, Bree just made the most maniacal, terrifying smile I've ever seen.
The funny thing is, I could see myself in the reflection of your window, so I saw it, too, and it was bad.
Why
but is see, that so guy funny? Wasn't an actor. Like, he was, like, a helicopter pilot.
I notice that all the time in movies.
I know.
random extras are like stoked or like they clearly have the wrong mood down. And I'm just like, and that's obviously just the take they had to use.
I love it so much.
It just kills me. I see that a lot in like when I'm watching Disney Channel original movies.
Oh, you notice stuff like that?
Yeah.
I notice it more in older movies before like people started picking apart continuity and stuff.
And posting every inch of it on, you know.
Yeah, they're like, oh, like on the Goonies. Mm-hmm. It was like, the balloon starts to blow up red and then mm-hmm. it pops pink. And
yeah.
Then, like they shake the glass off and then the next second the glass is back on. Yeah. Like just all that little stuff. So I used to notice that when I was a kid.
It's so hilarious.
Anyway, so this guy's driving and he has a big smile on his face. And later you realize it's because he's getting all this information.
And he's getting paid for it by these reporters. So he's making bank.
And they even make a comment to reference back to, like, the bad, horrible scandal. They're interviewing the girl that was involved. And,
oh, God.
And the mom says, how did they get her already? And the senator goes, oh, they paid.
Yeah.
And so you kind of see this, like, corrupt side of, you know, the media and the press that, like, they're getting paid, they're paying for stories.
Right. And you know, that's always at someone else's expense or what have you. So it raises the stakes for sure. The drive down and when they arrive. And essentially we get to, like, really the main act of the film, which is how are they going to pull off this ruse of the Goldmans pretending to be Colemans in front of the Keeleys, all while reporters are outside really hoping if they get a shot of any one of those Keeleys walking out of a drag club, they're even more tarnished. They're even more ruined. There's no chance of hope. A marriage is not going to save that.
Yeah. And the Keeleys have no idea that their driver is, like, you know, feeding information.
So they're just driving.
Yeah, they're just driving down. And, you know, they're more reactive to their surroundings rather than the internal, you know, issue that's happening with the driver. So, like, they pull up to South Beach and there's just, like, butts and butts and butts and butts.
It's great.
And all of those Brazilian cut, you know.
Those, like, high bikini, cut, like, French cut, like, whoop.
French cut, that's what I meant, yeah.
Brazilian is. You know what you meant.
Let's go back. Brazilian is another kind of cut. Those French cut bikinis. The windows are down and you just see, like, all these women in bikinis walking by. And I think some, like, what are they called? Speedos.
Yes.
And they're just like, oh, oh, oh.
Yeah.
Because they probably wear, like, a bathing costume when they go to the beach. So.
Oh, my God.
And Barbara's like, oh, this must have just all happened since they've been in Greece.
Yeah.
Which is, like, stupid lie after stupid lie.
So many stupid lies. Like, childishly stupid lies. Yeah. I feel like if you're a parent and you're watching this and you like, you're just like, my kid has told dumbass lies like this and I know are lies.
Like, yes. Like, you're not smarter than me.
Yeah.
Surprise. I have lived your life.
I'll always be older than you.
Double that.
I made you. I simply know more.
My parents used to say that to me all the time. Like, I've been in your shoes. Yeah. Like, I know what you're doing. Now you know.
It's so true. Couldn't be truer. Another important random plot point as well is the fact that Val's plan is to get his dad to be part of the ruse and his biological mom.
Yeah, so, to be more conservative.
Yeah, and obviously she's a woman, so.
Which, real truth, in my mind I was like, why doesn't Albie just dress it? Or Albie.
Yeah, Albie.
Why doesn't Albert just dress in drag?
I know.
That was like my first thought was like, duh, this would be the clear answer.
Yeah, I'm like, this is the role of a lifetime. Like, come on, you can do this. You can totally do this.
Which, like, the complication of this made it so much more funny.
So good.
So
the plan is to have her be involved. And then Albert was supposed to be an uncle. Just a random uncle. So Armand kind of gives... just like, what? So Armand gives him these hilarious lessons on like how to be more manly.
Favorite scene of the movie. So, when they're at lunch.
That is them in their freaking prime. That is them in their freaking like peak of just greatness. It's just them doing their element.
That's my favorite part.
It's amazing. That scene with the toast is the scene toast. That makes this fucking movie.
The toast.
The toast and the John Wayne walk, like
when amazing. I was cracking up from start to finish when he's like, "How are the dolphins?"
Yeah,
bewildered, yeah. Betrayed. Wrong answer.
Yeah, it's just so great because you get to see that Armand, although you know a gay man, is very like self aware and he's very. He knows how to put on the facade. He knows the tricks of, like, hiding more.
He's a businessman.
Yeah.
He's a dad.
Yeah. And
he raised a son.
Exactly. And Albert, you know, is really, like, that's just not ever been him. That's not ever going to be him. You know, he really is this person. And
yes.
it shows that it's not an act. It's
no,
not
this is how you're born.
Yeah, exactly.
It shows so well in... I was screaming when Albert said, "I can play it straight," and then takes a drink of his glass with like three fingers up with a ring on each and
yeah.
his posture. And Armand just says like, "Look at you." And it's like, that's who he is.
Yeah.
Like, so I hope that would open, you know,
yeah.
people's eyes to see like, this is just who they are.
Yeah. And there's, you know, that's just is what it is. End of story. Like, it doesn't have to be debated. It doesn't have to be questioned, you know? And it's funny because that scene, even though, yeah, like you were kind of saying before, there's a couple little sad moments where you're like, wow, like there's a lot of hiding. There's a lot of like, I don't
yeah.
know, people, you know, Val being so ashamed.
Or apologizing for
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And it's just like, why? And I love that scene comedically. But still sentimentally or emotionally shows that is just that man. That
I did
how
watch
that man is.
That scene like four times.
Yeah, like I could watch it like every day. It's so funny. It's just
a
so
simple
good.
Like dollop the mustard, smear it.
Yeah. It's like, and then he like loses the mustard. He's like, it's not the end of the world when you lose the mustard.
Like, oh. That's when you get to see Robin Williams kind of do his thing too.
Mm-hmm.
There's two parts in the movie where you get that glint of Robin Williams. And earlier there's a rehearsal scene.
Oh my God.
And he's trying to help this dancer with this dancer's gonna be performing with Albert and he's not getting it.
Yeah.
And
he doesn't have the it factor.
He's very attractive, but mm-hmm. he's kind of like portrayed as like this beautiful idiot.
Yeah.
Like he's chewing his gum and Albert's getting super irritated.
Which, like, by the way, if you have gum in the theater, like that's probably the number one rule that you just don't fucking do ever.
I feel like that's with anything.
Yeah.
I can't stand gum.
Yeah. It's like it
hurts my jaw.
The biggest
too,
safety hazard to be on stage and have gum. Like you just don't do it.
And the noise and
yeah.
So he says, you know, the gum helps me think.
You're wasting your gum.
Yes. But so Armand is a great director. He's not
yes.
just a great businessman
mm-hmm.
or a great father, but he's a great director. So he's wanting to kind of show what this dancer needs to do. And he's
so
like,
good.
You be fussy, fussy, fussy.
Madonna, Madonna.
Yes. And he names off all these famous dancers and then he goes, and then you keep it all inside.
Yeah.
It's like, what does
oh
that mean?
Oh, my God. And it's like, you know, that's him. He's keeping all those inside, and he's trying to, like, balance his, like, you know, more flamboyant partner by, like, playing it a little more straight. But it's just so...
It was
like,
so
we're
fun.
Finally getting to see... Yeah, we're getting to see a little bit of that Robin Williams we know and love.
Yeah, but it was toned down, and it was mm-hmm. definitely per the character.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't like his crazy, what we've seen before, and
yeah.
the genie, and, you know... Mrs. Doubtfire. It was
mm-hmm.
definitely like appropriate.
Yeah.
And then you see so a little bit of that again when they're kind of going back and forth about how to be more manly.
Yeah.
And it's just so funny.
Oh my
God. And he's
God.
Like, I'm going to give you an image.
Yeah.
John Wayne.
Oh my God.
He's like, can it be an easier one?
Yeah. I love that at the end of Albert doing the John Wayne walk, getting it fucking down. He's like, what, did I do it wrong? And he's like, no, I just never realized that John Wayne actually walked like that. I know. He does. Really totally freaking does. So funny. So once they start to, they get in contact with Catherine, Val's biological mom, and they have this weird little scene where Armand meets with her, and then Albert waits in the lobby in the waiting room. There is weird sexual tension.
Like, she's straight up like hitting on him.
Yeah, she's like kind of molesty. Taking off his
shirt.
She's all like, oh, look at your chest hair. I want to touch it. It's like, no, you don't just like do that to people, even if you've been there, done that with them. Like,
was such a weird, because she even did that the first time, and he was like, let's see what all these straight guys are talking about.
Yeah. It's just so funny. Like,
who is this man-eater?
Yeah. So she kind of tried to, like, I don't know, flirt, get it a little. And, of course, it just was perfect timing, because that's right when Albert walked in and sees it and loses his shit.
As he should.
Yes. And storms off, very diva-like, just very emotional, and just decides, like, I'm not going to be a part of any of it. I'm just going to lock myself away. I'm not even going to play the uncle.
Yeah, why am I doing this?
Yeah. Yeah. Later, when dressed up as the uncle, it's really kind of cute.
Oh, when he's in a suit?
I know. And it's a really, like, it's an interesting kind of sad scene, because you're like, oh, like, he's not allowed to be in his element.
He had to put that on to be kind of accepted by these people. Yeah. And that's, like, people have those kind of moments in their lives where they have to hide themselves.
Yeah.
It was really sad. It was, it seemed emotional too for the rest of the family when they saw him walk in. And then, but he does do that. He breaks it a little bit where he like sashays in.
And then he's like, wait.
Yeah. Like, I loved
that. Stop walking like that. Yeah. I feel like it was good for Val to see that, to like be like, oh, wait, to like appreciate how Albert really is, you know?
Yeah. It did also show a lot about being a parent and like sacrificing so much for your child. We totally skipped the whole like changing of the house. And
it's basically
Spartacus.
Empty. It's essentially completely empty except for the giant crucifix.
First they wanted like a moose head or a deer head.
Yeah, it was like, oh, I traded this for the moose head or whatever.
I love how Val kept saying like, don't add.
Yeah.
Just like
subtract.
And they kept wanting to like add stuff.
I love when he walks into the bathroom. He's like, why are there Playboys in the bathroom? And then one of the drag queens, because it's all the drag queen staff, is helping. And he says something like, that's what they read. Like, that's what they read. Like, I just loved that. I was like,
yes.
Oh my God.
That was really funny.
Yeah. Who, like, wouldn't think that?
That was really funny. And then, Spartacus. What is his name?
Agador.
But isn't his last name Spartacus?
Yeah.
Agador Spartacus. Agador's, like, cleaning the pool, and Val's like, can we get a street butler or maid or whatever he calls him, like,
he's like dancing for this out, he's like, there.
No, like, they don't even tell him. I mean, other than he asks him to wear shoes, which is like, you know, to be honest, not that big of a request, because
it's
for health and safety, like.
But he's all like, oh, if I wear shoes, I will fall. So it's this weird little shtick.
Hilarious, because like, it pays off.
Physically cannot walk in shoes. That's how South Beach he is. Like,
and then he falls. He takes a shoeless spill.
Like, every 2 minutes. Like, it's just so great.
The Keeleys arrive in South Beach, and they're ready to meet the family. The Colemans, the Goldmans.
Whatever they're going to
be called. The Coldmans, silent D. But Mrs. Coleman is visiting her grandmother, and then the mom says something so funny. She goes, it's great to have contact with the generations.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
Yeah. Grandma and grandpa?
This isn't
mom,
like,
and dad?
Great, great grandpa. Yeah. It's like, what are you talking about?
So ridiculous. Agador is cleaning, and he's wearing the shoes. Or he's doing the candles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's lighting the candles.
And the phone rings, and Val answers it.
And she had previously gotten a message from Amon, and it says, don't come. But then he says,
He says, no, please do come.
Yeah.
So there's definitely confusion.
I don't know why
there.
I put my hand up to my ear like you needed to see
call
that.
Call me. So funny. So the plan is definitely getting a little bit more complicated, but essentially Val's expecting her. She's saying she'll be there. And even though she'll be late, he's like, it's okay. I'm going to sort of make up an excuse why you're late because I'm great at lying. That's all I do. Me and my new wife, we're just going to lie forever.
My last name's Coleman now.
Yeah. Totally different person.
Don't mind that birth certificate identity. Or legal ID or passport that also says Goldman.
Yeah. So then he does inform Armand. He says, there's no way to call her back. I told her to come and she's coming. And so now it's just adding, it's raising the stakes. It's adding more tension. But yeah, so I think after overhearing, being in the other room and overhearing that she's late or not coming, Albert decides, fuck it. I will be mom. I will be Mrs. Coleman. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring to life this charade because the kids need it. It's kind of like what a parent would do to like be like, I'm going to step in and help protect and support my kids somehow. I got to get them out of this somehow. They're really digging their hole deeper and I'll just help them dig it.
It is so funny. Moms double down.
Yes. Totally. Totally.
You want to argue with your mom that she's wrong and you're right? She will double down no matter if she knows you're right.
Yeah. That's a good mom right there. That's a good mom.
This mom's going to double down and go in full drag and in character.
She's yes-anding what they've already improvised. Like, literally, that's what you do in improv.
It is.
Like, what has been established, I'm going to yes-and it. The only things she couldn't yes-and were the little mishaps of, like, oh, I thought you were just visiting your parents.
Yes.
Like, well, yes, I was. They're grave sites, I mean.
It's we moved
like,
them.
And, yeah. From like, this and she has island. To continue to yes-and them. Like, that's improv. You can't deny what's been established. You have to just go with it and add to it. So that's basically where we're at.
Albert comes out. Puts the note in or dress it drag. And he's like, I'll put it on the thing. And then
Oh my God.
It's like a gate. Like, I thought it was going to be a front door, but it's like some intricate, like, cool gate. It's like, it has to be so extra.
Yeah.
It can't just be the front freaking door.
It's like this sexy terrace, like, whole situation. Like, it's
really
not,
cool.
Yeah. They have a fucking swimming pool up there above the drag club. Like, that's amazing. It's amazing.
Paint the picture a little bit of this room. I was dying. They're sitting at this like weird, awkward coffee table that's very thin. And then those are straight up like chairs that a priest would sit
in. They're like medieval carved giant.
Like, you know, if you've ever been like in a Catholic church and they have like those chairs up at the top where the priest sits in between singing and stuff.
Somehow the queens got a hold of like five of them and put them in one room together.
And then against like this really super thin table that I was like, is that the dinner table?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, no, that's a coffee table because it was at their knee level.
It was so strange.
It's so awkward.
Everything was so strange in that house once they had to like make it straight. You know, it was so weird.
I loved like the mom's going around saying she loved, it's so charming. I love this house.
And it looked like a museum. It was like stony and coldy and
she
terrible.
Goes, look at these books. Nancy Drew?
Yes.
I wrote in my notes, Nancy Drew, Jesus Christ.
She was so happy by that. She really, really made her happy.
And then they hear like the nightclub and they're like, oh, we just thought it was, you know, music from the neighbors.
Yeah, we didn't know we were, like, right above it. Gee.
Oh, it's the same building?
Yeah. Oh. Gee. It's just all these little things are just sewing the fabric of what makes this act amazing.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Absurd.
So you think they're kind of, like, getting away with it for a little bit. You're like, okay, this is going to work, and this is so funny. And then they go sit down for, like, actual dinner. And these bowls get laid on the table, and they're, like, graphic, like, Greek naked men.
Yes.
Like, ancient Greek, like.
It looks like they're doing leapfrog. Yeah. Yeah, it does. And, like, thank God they're old enough to where, like, they need glasses to see, like, the fine print and don't have their glasses on.
Yes, and it's a whole thing of, like, where are my glasses? Yeah. And, oh, I'll describe it for you. It's and like, I think that's a woman. No, like, that's a man.
Mine definitely has women on it. It's just like, oh, my God. Like, it couldn't be more obvious. So then they quickly have to get the made-up peasant soup in okay. there without the shrimp.
What was that soup?
It just looked like watered down marinara sauce.
They called it something.
He said it was sweet and sour peasant soup.
But earlier they called it something to the Keeleys, and then when he goes back in, he goes, oh, no.
Like a seafood, like chowder or yes, seafood like soup his, or something.
His, like his
Guatemalan famous seafood yes. soup he's like, with no shrimp.
It's sweet and sour. Peasant soup. What's that? I don't know. I made it up. Like, is that a hard-boiled egg?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I just told again. Yes, it is. It's and no, filled with protein.
No fish.
No.
He's holding
shrimp didn't make it in the pot.
All the prawns. Like, it is.
So ridiculous. It's great. I mean, the, like, the humor, the, like, kind of slapstick hilarity in this is just fantastic. Like,
and it's even fantastic. Just the cheap. Jokes like yeah. when they all take a bite and it's clearly disgusting, and then everyone like quickly reaches for bread yeah. immediately because they're like, oh my God,
like, oh, that's
it's
strong,
so funny. And then I love when they're like, they're all running in the back, not all, but like Armand mm-hmm. and Val run in the back of the kitchen. They're asking, like, what is this? What's going on? They're fighting. They're so like, good. We have to serve more soup before they get to the yes. end because they don't want them to see the bottom of the bowl. But the soup is disgusting.
And it's like, they're not going to finish that soup. It's horrible. So just keeping that in mind.
Robin Williams slips in that scene.
I read that. He really slipped.
It was a real slip.
Oh, my God.
And the guys were trying to, like, hold back a laugh.
So funny. My God.
It's just perfect. Keeps going. Yeah.
Yeah. I just love
because it's
how
a mess. It's a mess.
The like, whole thing. Yeah. You know it. They can only hold on to this for so long.
What's hilarious is that Senator Keeley is bedazzled.
He's taken.
Completely.
Bewildered.
By besotted. Mrs. Coleman. I mean, just everything.
Submission.
She says is like, he's hanging on her every yeah. word. And even when she says insane things yeah. that make no sense, he's like, she's a very smart woman.
Yeah. It's like, you see, that's a fine lady. And they don't make ladies like that anymore.
Poor Mrs. Keeley is like, excuse me.
Yeah. Mrs. Keeley clearly becomes a little bit insecure about it and says so later. She's
oh,
like,
I know. That broke my heart.
I know. She was like, you know, all you want to do is impress Mrs. Coleman. Like,
she's
oh.
like, when am I going to be someone's, like, number one yeah. or something like that.
Yeah. So sad. Loved best by somebody.
Yeah, loved best. Oh, sweetie.
I was like, oh, Mom. And then, of course, like, as the night's going on, they are having fun. It's going well. She gets, like, a little bit drunk. Like, I mean, they all yes. kind of are because everyone's, like, really nervous.
I mean, it's a mess, yeah.
And so they pull her aside for a moment to, like, kind of fix her wig, which was falling off. And they're
oh, yeah.
Which is so darn
it's
cute.
Like, totally coming off, yeah.
They I just love her so much. And they all, like, four, like, Val and Barbara and Armand all kind of sneak away. So they're leaving just the Keeleys alone in the room. And they're just looking at each other and they're like, okay, something is weird. There was something on those bowls. Like, just,
yes. It's so funny when they're pushing. Albert has no idea why they're like, bringing him to the bathroom. He doesn't mm-hmm. know it's his wig. And so Barbara's like, come to the bathroom with me. And,
yeah.
and he's, like, so flattered. Like, yeah. oh, my whole family wants to help me.
So funny. Just so
like
great.
Fix your wig.
Yeah. So while they're like separated, of course, at the same time, there's a knock on the door
mm-hmm.
and Catherine arrives. So mm-hmm. spoiling the whole ruse. At the door saying,
Mrs. Goldman is here.
Mrs. Goldman. And it's like, oh shit. So of course, as that happens, the other four walk out of the room. It's kind of all starting to become revealed. He says, okay, how many mothers do you have? And at that point, there's this great moment where Val just stops and says, I have one mother, and this is my mother. And he embraces Albert and says, my father owns the nightclub, and my mother is the star. And I just, like, my little heart, like, skips a beat. It's just so precious. Like, I'm in love with it.
Yeah.
And he finally says, these are my parents. He embraces it. Like, this is This is it. You know?
That was probably big for his character, too.
Yeah.
It sounded like, you know, he didn't know anybody else like his family. Yeah. So, as much as he, I'm sure, loved both of his fathers, that it was like, okay, this is who we are.
Yeah.
It's I'm like not going to apologize for it anymore.
It's kind of like, in a little way, he kind of has to come out with this fact.
So, looking at some of my notes.
Uh-huh.
Okay, one, I feel like Albert played Mrs. Coleman, like, a little old.
Uh-huh.
It was like, she's straight up Barbara Bush meets Queen of England.
Yes. Yes.
Like, it was just so funny. The wig, like.
Yeah. It's a little Margaret Thatcher, like, but with, like, charm, which, you know.
He loved.
Yeah, of course, he loved her.
Now, how funny was, also, I thought it was a good nod to the original in that they were saying, like, when they're away, and they're kind of, you know, saying how Armand is, like, this European.
Yeah. Like, it's worse. He's European.
Yeah, it's so funny in how he, like, you know, kind of outshines the wife, or he tries to outshine the wife, or whatever he was saying. It was so
but
funny.
But she's a real American, you know? It's like, okay.
He's like mansplaining to her.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God. I love how after it's revealed that, like, Mrs. Coleman is actually a man in drag, he just looks and says, I don't understand.
Yeah, it takes him forever. Like, they keep saying.
And then Barbara's like, their real name's Goldman. They're Jewish. He's like, I don't understand. Like, he's just, he cannot fathom. He can't get it because he just had the greatest time with her.
And was smitten.
And was so, like, she's a real woman. He says, she's a real woman. They don't make him like that anymore. And I thought that was just brilliance, you know? He truly cannot accept for a minute. They have to explain. Like, Louise is like, they're both men. She's just like, how do you not get this?
Spell it
like,
out for
this
him.
Is a man. It's like, he just doesn't understand.
How funny, so too, funny. Was when... I'm just like reading my notes, cracking up. I was like, what are these chairs? They literally look like the chair a priest sits in at a church. Like, wow. And then I wrote...
throne-like.
And then I wrote, bowing. Okay. Do you remember when...
Agador
comes in and he just bows.
It's like, why? He's like, this must be some kind of ritualistic thing that, like, the straights do. I don't know.
He didn't know what to do. I was just like
what
bowing.
What is the most formal thing you can do besides bow? Curtsy, but that would be oh so girly, I guess.
No, you would just walk out of the room so or great. Say, like, ask if everything's okay.
It's like the shifty, weird little Bowie bow. Once it is all out there, Luis and Senator Keeley are like, okay, this is preposterous. We need to leave. The second they open the door, a photographer tries
to... Pat's there.
Yeah, Pat. Pat from Heavyweights is there.
He's like, Senator Keeley. Yeah.
Photographer's like, what the hell, man? Like, don't say his name. We don't want him to know.
I wanted him to turn his head. Yeah.
It's like, you'll get the shot if you, like...
He's a terrible reporter.
Yeah. I was like, no, we want to witness what's going on, not totally interfere and ruin it. But
instantly.
Obviously he doesn't know what he's doing. So.
Because he should be at the heavyweights camp where he belongs.
That's where he belongs. This is not his job. He's not a reporter. He's either the camp owner, becomes owner of Camp Hope in Heavyweights, or he's the season one principal in Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Because after that, it became Martin Mull for some reason. They got rid of him. I don't know why.
He probably had better things to do or bigger, you know, make more money somewhere else.
He was like, peace out. I'm going back to Camp Hope. So he ruins it. They try to take a photo of him. And thankfully, they close the door really fast. So they don't get the shot. But they realize immediately they're surrounded. And as they look out the window, they're realizing there's tons of reporters downstairs. Like
gigantic cameras.
Yeah. News media. I mean, they're all waiting. Mm-hmm. They're waiting for something. And they're thinking, how do we get out of here?
There's only one clear answer, Nina.
Obviously.
Dress in drag.
Dress in drag. Sashay away.
Shantae. The face you just made was so funny.
I wasn't expecting. It was great.
It is so fun because you don't No, I thought they were just going to sneak him out in drag. I didn't realize they were going to perform, which was, like, so yeah. much more fun. And it was fun to see, like, the couples kind of mix up. So, like, you know.
Yeah.
Armand danced with the mom.
Louise, yes. Yeah.
And,
so much fun.
And even, like, Calista Flockhart's in drag, I guess.
Yeah.
She's like, I can dance.
So good. It's super cute.
And then you see,
it's
like, this
so adorable.
Gigantic-ass man.
Yes. He kind of has...
In a white
it's
dress.
Kind of like a Barbara Bush, like, wig.
But also, like, kind of like a... I thought it was a little on the side of Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah. But
like a mix.
Mm-hmm.
I like love the Barbara. Liner. He's like, I didn't want to wear white. Do I look fat?
Totally.
It just was so true. It's like when you're in drag, like you like become a different person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was
he
acting
started to
now.
Become conscious of that.
Yes.
It's just so funny.
I love too. Doesn't he say or the mom say?
Some guy starts dancing up by her and he's like, I've never danced with a man before. And she just puts on this deep voice and she's like, there's a first time for everything. It's just like, yes, girl, get it.
I also loved how Albert did go down the stage in a suit.
Yes.
And that Senator Keeley was in drag because he was allowing Senator Keeley to kind of accept him as a man and say, like, this is who I am. Both of these people, yeah. like, you're meeting me now.
Yeah, I'm a man. I can play a woman. Mm-hmm. I am, at the end of the day, I'm the other parent to, you know, who's going to be your son-in-law. And,
yeah.
like, we can do this together. You know, I loved that. It was really cute.
And then, it was kind of like he let him be star, you know, like he let him shine.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you this moment.
Exactly.
I'm going to dress it down and you're going to experience why I do this.
Oh my God, I loved it.
And then there's a very silly part. They get out, they escape.
The madness.
They just walk right past.
Yeah.
And there's one guy that kind of gives them a look.
Yeah, but then he's like, nah.
Yeah, and then Senator Keeley walks up. He forgets he's in drag, I think.
Yeah.
He walks up to the driver and he says, meet us.
Smiley chauffeur.
Yeah, he says to maniacal smile. He tells him to meet him somewhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, that jerk takes it as like a pass. And he's
yeah.
like, not for $1 million. And
yeah.
you're like, oh, they really got away with it.
Yeah, like not for $1 million, lady.
That sleazy guy isn't going to be able to sell another story.
Yeah. Exactly, because he just lured dozens upon dozens of reporters.
All the way down to South Beach.
And none of them are going to get what they wanted. So
fun. So funny.
Yeah. And then in the credits, you see them actually get married.
Oh,
and it's beautiful.
Yeah. I forgot about the wedding scene.
It's so cute.
Oh.
I love that.
It's so funny. They show that, you know, the sides of the wedding and
yeah.
the pews are full of, like, really fun and eccentric and extra.
Yeah. Totally.
And then the other side is like drab and
yeah.
everyone's wearing like black and white and gray. And
yeah.
It's muted and they're like, oh, which one's the mom?
Yeah.
You know, they're all freaked out, like looking over.
It's so funny. Oh my
I
God.
Love Albert just crying.
Yeah.
And then
interrupts the like kiss too to be like, oh.
Okay,
so
that is
good.
So normal for so many parents to be, like, bawling,
right?
You know? So
especially mother of the groom. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So cute.
Overall, that was hilarious.
So in love with this movie. If you haven't seen it, please watch it. You will love it. You will not be disappointed. And if you have seen it, show it to somebody else. Like,
yeah.
This is one of those fun ones to just watch people laugh so hard the first time they see this. I can't recommend it enough.
I would implore you to try to not laugh.
Yeah. Oh, impossible. I would surely fail.
It is.
And I've seen it many times. Like no.
I said, I was screaming. If it wasn't so late, I would go home and watch it right
yeah.
now.
I guarantee you.
I got work tomorrow.
After I clean stuff up, I will definitely be putting it on as I fall asleep. It's just such a delight. It's such a positive, cheery movie at the end of the day. There's a couple little moments where you see that hardship, that struggle, that community really has to
deal with. It does really make you think. It gives you a window into a world that you may not be familiar with. But also it has huge laughs.
Such major, like roll on the floor laughs. Talking like ultimate.
And what better way to learn something than to laugh about it?
Yeah.
In the meantime.
It's so, honestly, like just impressive is like the word that comes to me. Because like,
that is a great description.
Yeah. It's not only, okay, it's a funny movie with Robin Williams and Nathan Lane. Like just when you hear that, that's already a great selling point.
A plus. Yeah.
Yeah. But then it's like what this movie does is it gives you a glimpse into that world, that life, on all those levels of, you know, the art of drag and a homosexual relationship and one that has lasted for decades. I mean, they're life partners, you know?
Yeah, Val was 20 years old.
Yeah, and it's like, and as how parenthood looks for, you know, and it's like how that's so normal and how that isn't something that needs to be seen as not normal. You
and
know?
Also to sympathize, like there is a really heartwarming and sad scene and, you know, thankfully the laws have passed, but there's a part where Albert's really kind of insecure about his place with Armand and like Armand keeps saying, I have alimony papers. It says, you know, take it all. I don't want it. I just want to be with you. It doesn't matter all this.
Yeah.
And it's like, so sad that so many people didn't have the same opportunities as everybody
it's
else
very sad.
To, you know, have benefits from your partner or retirement or be even a beneficiary.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little bit eye-opening in that sense.
That there was such a struggle there. And we've come a long way, but there's still a really long way to go.
Yes. Even when laws change, and that's great, that's progressive, but it's when you really start to change the minds of people who just have their minds made up and don't really know anything about that community. Senator Keeley is so obsessed with, like, his image. At the end of the day, if you're about family values, you know, your daughter is in love and she wants to be married and she's... You know, that's going to be your family, you know, and that's
someone
great.
That grew up in a loving household.
Yeah. I love that this movie, there are technically three dads in this movie, and I love it. And I think it's great for Pride Month as well. Like, there's something so exciting about seeing it all work out really well in the end, and people kind of, like, putting aside judgment or prejudices and just being like, wow, I needed help and these guys helped me, you know?
Yeah. There is so much to this movie. Like, we did not even touch on a quarter of the jokes, the one-liners.
I'm glad you pointed
it out.
The
nuances.
Because you can't, without just basically explaining every single detail, this is just something that has to be viewed and experienced.
The facial expressions, the tone. Don't take that tone with me.
It's so good.
Listen to the tone.
It's so good. You have to watch it. You have to
Their
watch
banter.
It. Yes.
It's like clearly they've been in a relationship for a very long time. They know each other very well. They
that have, chemistry.
They have a lot of fun together.
It's so good.
It was so funny.
Get your mojito and giggle it up. Speaking of mojitos.
Oh, is that time?
It's time.
It's time for a drinking game.
Drinking game. I just did weird arm movements. I don't know why. I don't know. Brie, do you want to kick off the drinking game rules?
Yes. Okay, my first rule is drink anytime somebody refers to a Kennedy or a Bush.
I love that. I love that.
It happens a lot. So
I do.
Have fun.
Yeah, we like that. I have a very obvious one. Take a sip anytime Nathan Lane shrieks. I mean, it's pretty often.
They're so fun, though, every time, too. It does not get, like, redundant
No.
or repetitive.
Each one is so different.
Yes. And
They all say something different,
they
really.
They do, and they really, like, punch what's happening.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say that, but.
Yeah. No. This is a good emphasis on, like, yes. What's going on, you know. I love it. It's a great expression.
My second is every time somebody says a variation of their last name.
Oh, my God, yes.
So, Coldman, Goldman.
Coldman.
Coldman with a silent D. It's said many times throughout the whole movie.
So good.
I have take a shot every time the senator asks for candy.
Yes.
What was that about?
I don't. That was like his crutch. He had to have candy. It doesn't really come up later, but it's just such a funny quirk.
It's mentioned like two or three times. It makes me laugh so hard.
I love that he's digging it out of the trash. Like,
it's such like a childish thing.
It's so weird.
To want candy?
It's so good. When they drive off and aren't recognized, finish your drink. Yeah, enjoy that mojito or white wine. Val likes the
or
white
red wine if you like them tannins.
The tannins.
There's a restaurant I love named Tannins.
Oh, that's a great restaurant.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh my God, girl.
And then when anytime right. Someone says, "Do you want to go to Tannins?" I can hear Tannins.
Pushes them over. God, that was brilliant. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. We want to wish everyone a very happy Father's Day and happy Pride Month as well. Thank you for tuning in on this very special episode all about the Birdcage. Thank you so, so much to Bree, the amazing, amazing co-host.
It was so good to see you and Fiona and Pat.
I know. It was just nice to all be together and, like, get together face-to-face, talking about movies we love.
At a safe distance.
Yes. Still maintaining our safety procedures and precautions. So, thank you so much. Special thank you to Fiona, our producer. And very special thank you to Patrick for making us mojitos today. Mm-hmm. How fun was that? Cocktails
we were
with Patrick.
Pulling mint leaves out of our teeth all night.
Yes. Such a fun thing to do.
Delicious. No, it was so good.
No, it was great. Thank you so much to my big brother and our big sponsor, Bijan Sharifi. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. And head to the website to sign up for the mailing list. Feel free to sign up to become a member and get even more.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
Members only.
Members only, BB.
Shantae.
She done already to have herses.
You know what? The like seventh time you said that, it makes sense now.
There's something about it. The I words get it. Are not phonetically, grammatically correct, but there's sass. And
yeah,
that's all one
I
needs to
it.
Communicate.
It's kind of like on Friends where they're like, she doesn't know we know that she knows that we know that they know.
Yeah,
like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
get it.
It's like,
there.
She done ready to.
She done ready to. She. What is it?
What is it? I didn't know it enough to say it.
So she done already done had herses.
Yeah.